a little piece of his wisdom. And we know that we have an answer. I remember hearing an apostolic preacher was called to a house. There was a fight in progress, and he didn't know what to say. So he just sat there, and under his breath, he was praying and asking God for his wisdom. And while this husband and wife continued to fight, all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord dropped a piece of information in the preacher's heart that he didn't know. By himself. And all of a sudden, Brother Frank, he realized, oh my lands. And when the smoke finally cleared a little and they let the man of God say something, he opened up his heart and shared the insight that God had given him. And when he shared it, all of a sudden, this man, this husband and this wife fell on each other, crying and praying and forgiving one another. It's because somebody waited on the Lord. When's the last time you fasted 3 days for your kids? When's the last time you put yourself under discipline so you could hear the voice of God? When's the last time you said, I'm going to the church every day for 2 or 3 hours and I'm going to ask God for wisdom? I'm going to ask him for understanding. You tried this and you tried that, but I'm telling you that wisdom hath builded her house, and wisdom will build your house. Wisdom will build your marriage. Wisdom will help save your children. Oh, praise God. Anybody understand what we're saying? It's not simply just trying one thing. It's hanging in there and building something that's solid. Wisdom hath builded. You ever been around somebody really negative? Some of us need mental floss for I carry these little flossers around. I'm trying to get back to the ancient practice of flossing. You know, you get something stuck in your teeth, and I'm driving down the road, and it's just awesome the things I get done in the car. It's awesome. But just like we get stuff caught in our teeth, sometimes we get something caught in our brain. Hallelujah. And we have a distortion. We heard that wrong, and we listened to that and it distorted when we picked that up wrong, and we didn't see that quite correctly and accurately, and we get that stuck in there, and we need some mental floss. Oh, praise God. I believe that people that have been freshly filled with the Spirit, and that's one of the greatest ideas right there, is when was the last time you came to this altar and said, I'm staying down there until he fills me again with the Holy Ghost, until he refills me with the Spirit of the Lord. I need his strength. I need his power. I need his wisdom. We can wear ourselves out trying to come up with answers in one touch from God. I know of a young lady that had a serious drug problem. And there were thousands of dollars that were spent on trying to rehab her. And she was in a service, a one God, Jesus name, tongue talking, dust removing, hallelujah, chandelier shaking, carpet cleaning service. And in this service, Brother Trout, great man of God for many years, superintendent and great church builder. Brother and Sister Trout have been amazing people in many of our lives. Amen. Brother Trout reached over and laid his hands lightly on this young lady and prayed over her. And when he did, the power of God touched her and broke off of her every addiction. Hallelujah. Broke off of her every addiction. One touch of the Master's hand. You are not big enough to overcome by yourself. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And guess what this lady was doing last time I heard about her? The one that couldn't get deliverance, the one that couldn't get it right, the one that couldn't get unhinged and disconnected from drugs. Last time I heard about her, she was pastoring a church. Come on now. One touch. That's all it takes. One touch. Oh, praise God. One touch of the Master's hand. That's all it takes. Wisdom hath builded her house. Notice this. It says she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Not one or two. I'll never forget our little trip to Mount Rushmore. That's where a lot of us live, at Mount Rushmore. I've never said that in my whole life. That's pretty cool what I just said. If I'll just rush more, if I'll just run around and just be an eager beaver for Jesus, and maybe I'll get this solved. But we went to Mount Rushmore. Let me tell you what impressed me. Yes, the faces of the presidents. Yes, very much so. Ember was with us. It was we actually took vacations in those days. And anyway, we're there looking up at the mountain, Noah. And what impressed me was, right below the mountain, all of the chips that had been, ready for this, carved away. See, she hath carved. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. When you carve something, something has to fall away. Hallelujah. And the reason why you can distinctly see the faces of those presidents on Mount Rushmore was because somebody spent years, hallelujah, even blasting with dynamite, with special blades and drills and so on, until down at the foot of the hill. I don't know why it hit me that way, but I'd seen pictures of the faces of the presidents and didn't ever notice that beneath the mount, down at the foot of the hill, were tons and tons and piles of chips. And here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to be willing to let go. If you want the face of Jesus to be seen in your life, you've got to let the Holy Spirit do some carving. Hallelujah. He said, my word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He said, for the word of God is quick and powerful. And when God gets to working, stuff starts falling off. You've got to be willing to let things go. She hath hewn out. She hath carved. You say, I'm in pain. We can leave a service and feel like I'm still in pain. You know why? Because God is cutting away the excess. I had an old pastor of mine, Sister Tiffany. I'll never forget him saying this. I was just a teenager when he said this. But he said, you know what? When we come to God, he said, if God cut off everything that was wrong in our life, he said, we'd bleed to death. Come on now. He said if he cut it all at once, we'd bleed to death. So what does he do? He does gentle surgery through the years. Hallelujah. The great physician walks into the room. And just as we've got Christopher here healing up from surgery, the Lord wants to do some surgery in our brain. He wants to do some surgery in our hearts. And he wants to take his scalpel. He wants to take that fine, keen edge of truth and strong apostolic doctrine and begin to sort of like remove some things, tumors and growths, parasites and things that have ended up embedded in our inner workings of our functionality. Woo, anybody understand? Anybody understand what I'm saying? Here's a young lady, thousands of dollars. Could not solve her addiction. But once her pastor prayed over her and the hand of God came down on her, the addiction she could not solve were solved because they were cut away. I heard Brother Escudero, you know, he's our buddy from California, pastors out there. He was preaching a revival, and a young man came down to the altar, began to weep right in the front there, right by the pulpit, weep and pray and repent of his sins. Oh, I'm so glad that God's ready, always ready for us, always waiting on us, always wanting us to be honest with him and with ourselves. And it doesn't take a long time to repent, but this young man was weeping and praying, and he later discovered, my evangelist friend, that this young man had case of AIDS, and he had some other things wrong with him, and he was praying and seeking God, and I believe right there in that service, not only did he repent, but he got the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Was filled. Anybody believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost? I mean, I'm going to tell you what. God wants to supercharge us. Too often we get a touch of God and then we go for months before we go back to the altar and humble ourselves and admit we don't have the wisdom, but he's got some wisdom for us. We don't have the insight, but he's giving it away and he's not charging anything for it. And this young man goes to his doctor and they do fresh tests on him and they cannot find that virus in his body that week after he had been to an altar and given himself to God and been filled with the whole. Come on now, lift your hands and let's give God honor and praise. Hallelujah. I thank you, God, for your power. He can deliver us from anything. He can deliver us from anything. He wants to help you carve out some answers. But we've got to work at this with him. He wants to help us. Sometimes we just try one or two ideas and then we just throw our hands up in exhaustion and frustration and we give up. We had this little deal when we were kids. We would wrestle. Blessed days. And my brothers and I, all of us built extremely strong. And none of us, we could get a full Nelson on one of them. We could get their hand and arm behind their. None of us would ever give up. It was scary. It was like, we got to be careful here because we don't know how to give up. That's the way a child of God ought to be. Hey, listen, wisdom is building this house. We're going somewhere. I feel like we're going somewhere. Sister Angela felt there were things moving toward our church. I've heard her refer to that outside of that service. There's something moving toward us. My precious prophetical wife has felt things in the spirit. I claim that. I believe that. I want to see. I want him to come up behind my optical nerves and let me look at my challenges differently. There's wisdom. One little piece of his wisdom. And all of a sudden, 11 acres doesn't look like a great big job anymore. Hallelujah. Because God had an answer, Brother Tim, Brother Mike. God had an answer. Hallelujah. One little extension of faith. One step. One, of course, a lot of planning behind it. And here we are. Woo. Watch this. She hath hewn out not her two pillars, her three pillars. Well, I've tried two or three things, Pastor, and I'm frankly, I give up. Well, you've got a few more to go. If you're going to hold up the ceiling of this house, she hath hewn out. She has carved out her seven. What is seven? The number of fullness. The number of completion. Yes. That is God's number of completion. Have you tried everything before you go to something less spiritual? Before you throw in your hat and decide, well, since we can't solve this in the church, we'll try to solve it outside of the church. You don't need a therapist. You need the Holy Spirit and his power. Amen. And thank God for counseling. We don't disrespect all the wonderful people with their particular training and so on. We honor them and thank God for them. I'm just telling you, that one touch from God, one little piece of his wisdom, one little piece of his understanding, and a marriage can come into a healing, and a family can come closer to God, and new doors open, and new possibilities, and new joy in people who have frankly struggled. Should I not get this excited? Should I calm down? She hath hewn out her. Have you tried seven different avenues? So I went through the capsules, the weight loss capsules. Man, I've got to retuck in my shirt when I preach. I feel when I come to church now, I've got a parachute on for a shirt, for a suit. It's crazy. Because I tried all the capsules. And I tried keto. And keto, by the way, helped me some. It did. Thank God for keto and weight loss and weight loss ideas. But guess what I did? I came back home to Weight Watchers. And they have me under disciplines. And they talk. I let them talk into my life every week. They talk into my heart and into my mind. They give me ideas on things to do. Hallelujah. And the whole program has totally changed. And it's on another level. And every fruit is 0 points. And I call Tuesday night when I go to Weight Watchers, I call it Judgment Day. Glory to God. What does that mean? That means when you include in your answer accountability. When you become accountable to somebody. When you say, I'm checking in. I'm letting the preacher look me over. I'm letting that Sunday school director look me over. I'm letting that teacher look me over. I'm letting my brothers in God, I'm letting them look me over and pull off any ticks or bugs or insects, you know, psychological bugs, things that bug us. That's what I liked about working for Orkin Exterminators. You could kill what bugged you.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. She hath hewn out her 7 pillars. Have you stepped back and let the chips fall where they may? Have you stepped back and let your past fall off and your past addictions? Right now, I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, not in my name, but in his name, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In the name of Jesus, you can experience deliverance. In the name of Jesus, he can knock off of your wrists chains. Oh, praise God. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. Hallelujah. I watched a young lady prayed for. I was just a Bible school student, but I watched in a powerful service a young lady who had been crippled totally for 9 years, broken back in 4 places. And when the evangelist spoke to her and pulled her out of the chair and asked her, commanded her to walk in Jesus' name. I spoke to her after the service as well to confirm that everything was totally what we thought it was. But she had not walked in I think it was 9 years. I watched them walk in Jesus' name when the evangelist commanded them to walk in Jesus' name. They walked across the stage. They had wobbly legs, and so the evangelist walked over and prayed again for them and commanded them to walk in Jesus' name. And they did. Hallelujah. And there was this woman whose back had been broken in 4 places, and it was all put back together in 1 Holy Ghost service. I saw manifestations of the power of God. Oh, I'm telling you what, we've got more. He's got more for us. Would to God he pour it on us right now. Pour his power on us. Pour his grace on us. Pour his glory on us. Does anybody hunger? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. I'm thankful for what we've got. I'm thankful for what we've got. But there's more coming if you want it. If you hunger for it. There's more that's coming if you ask him for it. And believe him for it. He's got answers for us. He's got wisdoms for us. He's got insights for us. Would you clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise? Woo. Watch this. This is my last, 3rd point and last. I love the way it reads. Notice how it reads. Verse 2, talking about wisdom. She hath killed her beasts. I'll never forget, I was only 8 years old. And I spent the summers on the ranch with my uncle and aunt, Uncle Vernon and Aunt Gloria. And I'll never forget the night that a cougar was wounded. Something was wrong with it. And it was making unearthly sounds just outside our farmhouse. I should not have done this, but I went outside. And because there was a fence, I felt like I was somewhat protected. Total fallacy. But my uncle, who was part Indian, picked up his rifle and his pistol and got up on top the chicken coop with his cowboy hat. That was probably the deadliest thing that he had, Brother Mike. And I'm just 8 years old, but I look up there and I see my uncle, and he's not backing up. He's not frightened. He's ready. Okay, kitty cat, you bring it. You want to rumble? Let's rumble. What do you want to do? What's your next move? Because I'm here to blow you into next week. And I don't even remember how at all. I just remember somehow I think the cougar realized, I think I'm in dangerous territory. I think somehow there's a feeling in the air like somebody is challenging me. And somewhere slinking off in the night, that cougar disappeared. You know what we do too often? We let the enemy terrorize us. We let the enemy frighten us. But there's one greater than I. The Bible says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have power through the name of Jesus. You have power by the blood of the Lamb. You have authority you've never operated in. You can do something about what's happening. You need to say the word. Woo! My. Because the Bible says the enemy, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. I noticed Brother Hernandez something that he said that really resonated with me. He said, angels listen to the words we say. That's a key to their ministry. They listen to the words we say. If we say negative things, they can't read our minds. You know, sometimes, and I did that today, I'll be driving toward church, and I'll just say, I loose angels in the house. I loose angels in the house. I loose the power. You say, I'm a fanatic. Thank you for that compliment. Would to God we had some more fanatics that would join me. But I drive to church saying stuff like this. I loose the angels of God in the building. I loose healing in the house. I loose healing in the house. I'm not careful here. I'm going to have my shirt hanging out. I'm going to look like a hippie that needs help. Jesus died for hippies. And he died for you. Hallelujah. I drive to church talking in tongues. I drive to church releasing power. This is not an accident what we feel. You know, any given service, it seems like, whether it's Wednesday night or Sunday morning, if we're not careful, it'll just go up in fire and smoke, because people come believing God, believing God. Lift your hand up. You want the Lord to touch you? He loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. He's not thrown you away. He loves you. You've tried other things. You've tried psychologists. You've tried psychiatrists. You've tried meds. You've tried a lot of things. But I'm telling you, wisdom hath builded her house. She's still building homes and building families and building relationships and building, hallelujah, people. Oh, yeah. And she's hewn out. She's carved out. She's tried everything possible to come up with answers. You and I, we give up too easily, but wisdom is in the house. Woo! Is it all right to preach like this? I like this. It's so powerful when it says that she hath what? Slain. She hath killed her beasts. Notice the possessive form. Everybody's shoe pinches them in their own particular psychological, emotional place. What bothers you doesn't touch me. And what I might wrestle with, you have no conflict. God knows us. She hath, notice this, she hath slain her beasts. Everybody, if we were honest, there's something even in your lineage that has worked, that still works. But if you got up your ire, if you got up your Holy Ghost stamina and you stood to your feet and said, I've seen this working. I've seen this working in my lineage, and it's time for it to stop, and I cut it off. In the name of Jesus, I bind every curse. I bind every curse that's operated in our family tree. I stand against it. I say it shall not be so. I cut off every curse. I say the blessing of God is going to catch up to my children. And the blessing of God is going to catch up to my grandchildren. The blessing of God is going to follow me all the days of my life. As the psalmist wrote in Psalms 23, the blessing of the Lord, the mercy of God is following me. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? He is worthy. He is so worthy. Oh, hallelujah. I mentioned just the other day, and I didn't know this, but I was preaching for Brother Cornwell, one of the great, great men of God. I consider Brother Cornwell like a pastor to me. Great man of God. They have a beautiful, powerful church. And I know that he's a soul-winning machine. Do you know where he was born? Do you know where he was born? Get this now. Frogmore. That's the name of the town. Where were you born? I was born in the Chicago area. Oh, that's great. Where were you born? Oh, I was born just right outside, you know, Fort Worth and Dallas, Metroplex there. Oh, where were you born? Frogmore. Yeah. It's like, what? You were born where? In Frogmore. We're riding around in his car. I mentioned this the other day. Not knowing this really until I heard him say it. Here's this man that has won as many as 109 people with his wife in 1 year. Here's a man that's taught Bible studies, thousands of them. Built preachers, sent out pastors. This amazing man of God that has a very strong prophetic touch. As a matter of fact, some of the things that have happened to us in the last several months, Brother Cornwell prophesied to me about over 2 years ago that they would happen, and they've happened now. Hallelujah. He talked about new people. I said, if we will build a welcome here for everybody, God's going to bring people here. Anybody remember Pastor saying that? That was not just me quoting Brother Cornwell. I said, if we'll build a welcome here, people that have maybe, gotten just off track somewhere, God loves them, will always love them. He's got your back. He's got my back. But if we'll build a welcome here, God is going to bring people here that want what we have, that are going to enjoy the atmosphere that's here, that are going to be healed up and blessed and set free and anointed and trained and mentored and coached and used of God. They're coming, they're coming, they're coming. And while I was preaching that, I would look out and people were sort of like, give me the look like, he means well. He's so sweet. He really does mean well. You're just nice boy. Nice guy. Yeah, he means well, but it's happened since then.
That's right.
And guess what? It's not over. This awesome church, as an apostolic movement, has been in this town over 100 years. Let me tell you that there are thousands of backsliders, thousands of displaced apostolics, that all they need to find is a place where people will love them and people will restore them and people will embrace them. And God wants to draw people here just like that. He's in the restoration business. He's in the restoration business. And sometimes it means that their joy gets restored. Oh, when you lose your joy, nothing looks right when you've lost your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Much joy, much strength. Little joy, little strength. No joy, no strength. He wants to restore our joy. And David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Then will I teach sinners thy ways, and transgressors shall be converted unto thee. Why? When, how? When I get everything I'm supposed to have operating in me restored. and so she hath slain her beasts. When you are willing, instead of running, to confront the beast, possessive, her beasts. Have you ever seen a woman that got fired up? If I was going to have a falling out with the neighbor, I would pick the man to have a falling out with if I had to. Don't want to fall out with anybody, really. Instead of the woman. Why? Because the man is the Secretary of State, but the woman is the Secretary of Defense. You don't want it this. You be when a woman's on fire. Oh my lands, I'm telling you, I can talk to a dozen men, but one woman on fire that's upset and angry, and the Bible tells us that wisdom is a her. Oh, praise God. He wants us to be on fire and defensive of our children, defensive of our family, protective of our church. She has slain her beast. There's a confrontation that's taken place. God has answers for you when you set yourself on fire for God. Somebody said it this way: get on fire for God, and people will come and watch you burn. Come on now. There are potentialities. There are possibilities in you that have never been unleashed. But when you get your back arched and you realize you're standing on a promise and you're standing on a prophecy, and you know God has promised blessing and favor and deliverance and joy, and the devil's got to turn loose. Come on, lift your hands. Let's love on God as our musicians come. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Lord. I want some of this wisdom that builds houses. I want some of this wisdom that's not afraid to carve out some pillars and try new approaches in God. Try new approaches in the Holy Ghost. I want some of this wisdom that's not afraid to confront the beast that has stalked our family lineage for years. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I bless your name, Lord. Wisdom hath builded her house. She's building many, many things, many needs, many projects. The flooring, the siding, hallelujah. The foundation, the roof, the shingles, the windows. Oh, she's building her house. She's multifaceted, Aaron. Wisdom is multifaceted. God is multifaceted. He has answers for us in any realm we believe God for. Oh, she's not afraid. She's not afraid to confront beasts. Several years ago, a lady named Lorraine Leach in Canada was running a daycare out of her home about 100 miles northeast of Vancouver. She had 5 kids in her daycare. That's right. And all of a sudden, a cougar showed up. And began to figure out which one of these kids didn't want to attack. And if you know anything about cougars, they lose their appetite for killing when they are angrily confronted. This young lady named Lorraine stood only 5'1" tall, but she yelled in the face of the cougar as it licked the forehead of a little boy named Mikey. She yelled in the face of the cougar, "Just go away and leave us alone. Let us alone and we'll leave you alone." And she yelled that at the cougar. And because it was angrily confronted, it sort of like half shocked the cougar, half frightened it, and it went tearing away, leaving that little precious boy unharmed. Because a little 5'1" woman, she hath slain her beasts. When's the last time you confronted the devil and said, okay, that's it, devil. That's it. We're having this out. We're having this out. This craziness is over. When's the last time you had a prayer meeting at your house? You stage a prayer meeting. You called for saints to agree with you. Maybe some that could come over and pray with you. Or you came to the church and said, this is the shootout at the OK Corral. We're going to get an answer from God. God is going to change this situation. And you hung in there and you prayed hours. But when you got done, you had the answer. You had some faith that God was intervening. Hallelujah. Wisdom hath builded her house. Hallelujah. I wish somebody could walk to this altar and declare before God and men, all right, this week, this day, this is the beginning of a new chain of miracles. This is the beginning of a new chain of wisdom and insights that's coming my way, because I'm not going to quit. I am not going to throw the towel in. I am going to look up in the face of Jesus, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, and say, give me some of that wisdom. Hallelujah. Would you do that right now? If any man, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He won't bawl us out. He won't tell us off. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Oh, Jesus, just a piece of your wisdom right now. In the name of Jesus, loose light in this house. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I loose light. I loose understanding. Would you say that with me? I loose understanding. I loose understanding. I break. God, you're helping me to break the hold of the serpent. You're helping me, Lord, to confront the roaring lion. You're helping me to stand up to sin and to stand up to addiction and to stand up to trauma and stand up to even pain and say, in the name of Jesus, God's giving me wisdom. God's giving me understanding. God's giving me insight. God, you're helping me. Wisdom, wisdom hath builded her house. Lord, Jesus, we just lift up that wrestling, that problem, that conflict. We just lift it up to you and we say, Lord, this little lady, hallelujah, Proverbs 9 is a picture of the church, the bride of Christ. She's a picture of the church. Reach over and pray with somebody right now, would you? Reach over and pray a blessing on somebody. Would you do that right out in the pews, everywhere across the sanctuary? We pray for one another. We say, Lord, let there be wisdom. Let there be light. Let there be strength. Let there be a breakthrough for somebody this day, this hour. Let there be confidence. Confidence. Let there be fresh joy. Let there be fresh joy in the house. Fresh joy in the house. Oh, let there be peace of mind again. Oh, Jesus, you are the answer for the world today. Above you, there's no other. And Jesus is the way. Dear God, we open these things up to you. We say, God, we're not afraid to carve out a new answer. We're not afraid to carve out another pillar to hold the ceiling up, to hold, Lord Jesus, the house up. We're not afraid to take the sharp edge of the sword of the Spirit and let the cutting, hallelujah, the breaking away of chips until the image of Jesus is seen in the mountain. Oh, praise God. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. impossible to him that believeth. In the name of Jesus, I say there's answers. I say there are wisdoms waiting for us. If we're willing to confront the beast, if we're willing to stand up to the lion, if we're willing to say, no further, you go no further. In Jesus' name, God is alive in my family. God is active in my home. God is working in my children. God is working in my grandchildren. God is alive. God is giving me help and hope and confidence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you're my answer. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name, you're my answer, Lord. Wisdom hath builded her house. Wisdom hath builded her house. Oh, let him break in. Let him break in. Stand down here, Lord. Give me an infusion of your wisdom. Give us an infusion of your insight. Jesus, I worship you. Jesus, full access. Wonderful God. Hey, listen to this. We can get a little like inert. because we are so beautifully, frequently exposed to deity and his expressions. But I just feel like every time we're like this, anything can happen. Anything. And by the way, Mr. Parent, Mrs. Parent, when you give yourself to God like this, God is touching your children wherever they are. He's touching your children wherever they are. Hallelujah. Why don't we thank him for his grace? Why don't we thank him for his mercy? To stay for some lessons on how to build a family. Nobody here would know what I'm even referring to. We are so blessed. I'm calling for Sister Meadows to join me, Brother Josh. Come up and stand here on the other side. Sister Meadows. Praise God. Love you guys. And boom, all of a sudden, we've hired the beast. And we took Brother Tim, and if you talk to Tim now, it's like he just got the Holy Ghost. He just got baptized.